Well, I feel especially inspired this evening with what I feel is a special message. I don't know if it's what you would call a traditional Saturday night message, but I feel inspired to bring it this evening and ask for your prayers that the hearts that are in need of this message tonight, that it would be able to reach you and that it would be an encouragement to all of us tonight. I thank the Lord that we serve a God that cares about each one of us. I'd like to read a familiar but riveting story tonight. And the story is about Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus and really me and you. And it's found in the 11th chapter of John. And we'll start at the first verse. It said, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Well, this story starts out about a man that got sick that knew Jesus. You know, there were people that were sick and they needed help that really didn't know Jesus. They had heard of Jesus maybe. And Jesus passed by some people sometimes and he had mercy and he had compassion on them and he reached down and he picked them up from their troubled place and healed them. But this case, Jesus knew who Mary and Martha and Lazarus were. And Lazarus got sick. He got real sick. And so they called for Jesus to come and help. And in fact, the message that they sent was, Lord, Lazarus, the one that you love, kind of a reminder to Jesus. This isn't just anybody, Jesus. This is somebody that you love. He's sick. We need help. And so that message was gone forth to the Lord. And no doubt the sisters maybe went in and they told Lazarus, "Hey Lazarus, we've called for the Master. I know you're sick. Stick in there. We've called for Jesus." And Lazarus, you know, Jesus knows who we are. We've seen Jesus heal people out there, and he didn't even know them. But we have an in with Jesus. You ever had a need and you had an in with the person? You know, you got an electrical problem and your neighbor's an electrician, or maybe you have an auto, an engine problem, and you know somebody who knows something about engines, and you think, well, I got an in on that, and you pick up the phone, and I think that they thought they had an in with Jesus. They did. And they told Lazarus, "Lazarus, hang in there. Jesus, we told him he'll be on the way." And I think that Lazarus, don't you think that gave him some hope? Don't you think that gave Lazarus, yeah, okay, Jesus is coming. I can make it through the night. But I wonder what Lazarus thought in his last days. And I want to say this first. Jesus did love Lazarus. He did have an in with him. I mean, the Bible tells us that Jesus loved. The fifth verse said Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He loved them. But the days began to go by and Lazarus, I wonder what was going through his mind as
each day passed. I mean, if I were Lazarus laying in bed and said, where is Jesus when the people got back? Well, he's at this town over here. Okay, well, if he left now, and I'm pretty good with a calculator and a stopwatch and a clock and miles and stuff like that, I had it right down to where if he left right now, he ought to be rolling in or walking in about right now. But what happens when that time passed and there's no Jesus? And then he started getting a little sicker. And then the next day came and no Jesus was still there. He was getting sicker yet. I wonder if some of his last thoughts were, well, I wonder if Jesus cares about me as much as I thought he did. I wonder if I'm as special to Jesus as what I thought I was special to him. I thought I had an in with him. I thought he cared about me, and maybe he doesn't love me as much as I thought he loved me. Maybe my hope was in vain, and maybe some of Lazarus's last feelings were his hope turning to hopelessness. Disappointment? Maybe even hurt. And I wonder tonight, has anybody here ever experienced that? Have you ever been tempted to feel that way? We've all experienced some pretty tough things in life, haven't we, most of us? Have you ever been in those places and you thought, this is, if there was ever a time that I needed Jesus Christ to come on the scene and help me out, this is it. And Lord, I have my faith. I've kept my faith in you, and I've walked with you. And Lord, I read in the Psalms where it says this poor man cried, and the Lord heard and delivered him out of his troubles. And Lord, I'm this poor man tonight, and Lord, I need help. And you really had faith in the Lord, right? I mean, you believed. The Lord knows my faith. The Lord knows how much I love Him, and He knows how much I care about Him, and my faith is in Him. And we thought He's going to pass by my way, and yet, as the days passed, and as the weeks pass, and maybe the months pass, maybe a year passes, depending on what it is. And the years pass, and your resolve and your hope starts to give way to disappointment, discouragement. Maybe your faith's taken a bit of a hit. And you feel like taking whatever that thing was that you brought before the Lord, you almost feel like wrapping it up in burial clothes and finding a tomb somewhere and putting it in and rolling a stone across the front and maybe skip putting the spices on part, because you might feel a little hurt. And it may just feel like maybe I don't have access to the Lord. Maybe He doesn't care. Have you ever felt a little hurt? That you feel like maybe the Lord didn't pay attention to you like you thought He would, like you thought where you thought your faith was, and then you get to this place where you think, well, maybe that's just how it is, and maybe He doesn't care so much after all. Are you with me? You know what I'm talking about? I want to remind you something tonight. The Lord cares. And the Lord knows. The Lord is aware. And He has compassion on you. And He knows your name. And He's still on His throne. And He's still God. And there's nothing that's getting past Him. And it might just be that the Lord has a work that He wants to accomplish that's bigger and broader than what we can really take in. Doesn't mean that it's easy.
In the 11th verse it said, "These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of his sleep." The Lord wanted Lazarus to die completely. Yes. That was his purpose. The Lord wasn't surprised when Lazarus died. The Lord, Jesus didn't get another messenger that said, "Lazarus has passed away, don't worry about it." And the Lord went, "Oh, I should have left a little earlier. Oh, if I'd only known that he was progressing that far down the road. Oh, I'm so sorry about..." That wasn't what happened. Jesus knew. Jesus knew what was going on all along. And this verse said that our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I might wake him out of his sleep. He hasn't even left yet, but he knows what's going on with Lazarus. And he had a work to do. He had a special, wonderful work that he wanted to accomplish, not just for Lazarus, but for Mary and Martha and the people around Lazarus, and for you and for me. The Lord was looking all the way down the line, knowing that there were going to be times that we felt like, "Lord, this is the window of opportunity is now past. Lord, this whole situation is dead. It's just time for a grave now. Lord, if only you would have come." And the Lord knew that, and the Lord held back because he wanted to accomplish something really special. So he held back, and his disciples said, "Well, Lord, if he sleeps, then everything's going well." They thought he was just really kind of asleep. But Jesus wasn't talking about that. He was talking about that he had died. And then Jesus said unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." And Thomas said unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." You know, you can think, I don't know what Thomas's motives were. We'll think the positive side of it. Maybe he was going to go show us support. But if he died, we'll just go die with him. But I wonder how that made Jesus feel. Because really what he's saying is that, well, there's no opportunity for you to do anything more now, Jesus, because he's dead. So we'll just go die with him. Have you ever felt like throwing in the towel? It made me think of the two guys on the road to Emmaus. They were walking along and their heads weren't up and their countenance wasn't bright. Their eyes were down and they were feeling bad. And it was like, oh, this man, he kind of joined with them and decided to walk along with them. Hey, what's wrong with you all today? Why do you look so sad? Well, haven't you heard what was going on? This man, we put so much trust in him and we believed in him and we thought he was going to be more than just another man. We thought he was going to be set up and now he's gone and he's dead and he's not even here anymore and he's in it. They crucified him and he's died and the story's done and it's over with and now we're left worse off now than we were before when we had him. And Jesus said, "Oh, thou fools and slow of heart to believe what all the prophets said." And the Lord began to expound on them, to them, to begin to broaden their vision of what he was really all about. And I believe that at the same time, the Lord wanted to broaden our vision too and give us courage that there's going to be times where we look at a situation and it feels like it's the end of this. There's no more hope now. Said then Jesus, when he came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Now get this part. But Mary sat still in the house. You think she might have been a little hurt? Or maybe she just felt like, we called for him. Lazarus is dead. I don't even feel like talking about it. This is painful. I'm hurting. And it seems like something different could have been accomplished. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Lord, I prayed to you, and if you, Lord, the everything was lined up that if you would have stepped in at the time that I was praying, this could have been avoided and things could have been better. Lord, if you would have been here, and I just wonder if the Lord was thinking, you're right, this didn't have to happen. I could have kept this from happening, but I allowed this to happen. Because I had something special. I had a greater deliverance that I wanted to take place. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother will rise again. And he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the water. I'm the air that you breathe. It makes me think of the woman at the well. When the Lord came and the old woman came and she brought her pot and she kept trying to fill it with something that she thought was going to satisfy her, but she had to keep coming over and over and over because she was never satisfied with what she kept trying to be satisfied with. And the Lord said, listen, I have something that's different from that. And I have living water. And if you taste of the water that I have, you won't thirst anymore. And he gave her some of that living water. And I always like to say this every chance I get. I love the fact that Jesus told her that he was the Messiah. This woman that was really had a lot of trouble in life. She wasn't what you'd call maybe just an example for your children. And yet the Lord chose her when no one else was there. I could just see him kind of leaning in and say, hey, I am the Messiah. Huh? And I think when he said that, I think she felt the same thing that those two men on the road to Emmaus felt when the Lord broke bread and blessed it and opened their eyes. Have you ever had that tingling feeling just go all through you? You know when the Lord fills your cup to overflowing? When people have that testimony, only people who have experienced that know what you're talking about. When the Lord comes along and He just fills your cup up and the water starts running over and it just starts coming out. And those men felt that. And I believe that He talked to her about a water that He had, about a deliverance that He had, about a different experience that He could have for her, even though she had gone through a lot of trouble in life and maybe sought something earlier on and couldn't find it, so kept trying to find something else. But one day she met the Master at the right time. When the time was right, she met Jesus Christ. And He had something so special and personal to tell her. When no one else was around, He said, I am the Messiah. And she forgot about her water pot and raced back into town and said, oh, come meet the man that told me everything all about me. Changed that woman's life. Amen. And it's the same Christ that loves us today. And Jesus came and Lazarus was in the tomb and Mary and Martha were sad and they were saying, Lord, if you'd only been here, this wouldn't have had to happen. And she was speaking to God. She was speaking to the Creator, and I don't know what all was going through the Lord's mind, but He was like, I am life. I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And sometimes we feel dead and we feel like life has left us and we feel like sometimes a piece and a part of our heart has been torn and hurt and can't be repaired anymore. We still come to church. Maybe we still believe in the Lord. We still have a testimony, but we live with a little bit of a hurt and a room in our heart with a door that's locked. A door that we think is never going to open again. It's in my past. I'm trying to get over it. There's no hope for that anymore. Listen, we serve Jesus Christ who is God of life. And the Lord, she was telling this to Him and He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Do you believe this? Oh, he wanted her to believe this. And she said, yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and she called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, Mary, the Master's come and he's calling for you. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. They couldn't get past that. I don't blame them. I'd have had a hard time getting past it too. They were hurt. It was personal. They thought Jesus was their friend. They thought they had an in with the Lord. They thought deliverance was going to come. They'd watched it happen to other people that the Lord didn't even know like He knew them. And that was what Mary said. Jesus said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. I want to encourage you tonight to invite the Lord to come and look. Be willing to come to the Lord again. And say, Lord, come and see. Instead of, don't worry about it, we've already buried him. Forget it, you got other things to do. I'll deal with it. The Lord comes by our way and He says, tell me about it. Tell me about it again. Where did you lay him? Where is he? Where is the source of your pain lying? And they said, come and look. Come and see. And the Lord wants us tonight to be willing to come back to Him in those places where we've been hurt. And once again say, Lord, Lord, come and look. Look at this thing. Lord, I'm willing for You to come and see. And you know what the next verse said? Jesus wept. What? Why did Jesus weep when He knew He was getting ready to raise Lazarus up in just a few moments? It's because He cared. It's because He had compassion on him. He could have blew it off and say, look, you should have just saw it in a little bigger light. Your eyes should have just been open to something bigger. Dry your tears. Toughen up here. Walk a little bit more by faith. I'm Jesus. I'll raise him up. Lazarus, come on out. But that's not what happened. Jesus knew all of that and he looked around and he saw all these people crying and he was moved with compassion. And he cried. Jesus cried. He cried because he cared. He had all power to do whatever he wanted to. But he cried tears like we cry. Have you ever cried before Jesus? Do you know that Jesus sees your tears? Do you know that Jesus cares? And he cried. Jesus cried. And the Jews said, behold how he loved him. He did. He loved him so much. And I want to say this tonight, Jesus cares about you. I don't know where everybody is tonight. I don't know what struggles you've had in life. What hurts you've had, the things that slow you down and trip you up, and are the things that you try to avoid maybe in your life that have been so hurtful. And I don't know how you responded to it. You know, sometimes we respond in unchristian-like ways. And you know what? Jesus still cares. Jesus still cries for us. He cries for you. Scripture says we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities.
He understands the nature of the wildernesses that we have to go through in life. And He knows that sometimes they're kind of long. And He cares. And He hasn't forsaken us. And He wants us to know He's still there. And Jesus, therefore, again groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto Him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Take away the stone? What? Lord, you're too late for that. We'll show you where it is. And Lord, it still hurts, but we're too late to be taking the stone away. That day's come and gone. There's decay in there. There's been a lot. There's stuff that's happened in that hole in there that the stone's covering up since we put him in there. There's time passed since then. And it hurts. And it doesn't smell good. And it's not pleasant. Are you sure you want to open that door, Lord? Lord, we're willing to kind of show you where the door is. But I don't know, Lord, that we really want to go in there because there's so much pain in there and there's hurt and it's not pleasant and I don't know what all's going to kind of come out of there. And open the door? Yeah. Open it up. Take away the stone. And I wonder tonight again, if there's places in our life where we have feelings of pain, hopelessness, places of bondage, places where we've given up. Is there anywhere you've given up with the Lord? You've come to Him and you've given it up. It's like, okay. And it's not that the Lord gives you victory in the trial. It's that you've given up getting victory in the trial. There's a difference. The Lord promised us grace to go through whatever it is. He didn't always say He would take us out, but He did promise us victory regardless. Are there places in our lives sometimes that we didn't feel like we got that with the Lord? And we put the grave clothes on and put it in the tomb and rolled the stone over it. Do you know that all of us here tonight have a history? Every single one of us that are sitting in the building tonight have pages and chapters and books that nobody else knows about. And it's real. We have regrets, don't we? Some of us. You know that sometimes we have a hard time getting over those regrets. You can do things in life, make errors, sin. Oh, you regret it so much. And you can't seem to get past it. You've prayed about it. The enemy's always there, putting it up in front of you. You can't live a real victorious life. You got that in your background. Lord, please, I ask you for forgiveness. Lord, would you please forgive me of this? I want to get past it. You'll never get that out of your life. That'll always be there. And you can't get past a regret. Repeated failures. Has anybody here had repeated failures? I know we make a failure, but repeated failures? Three times? The same thing? Have you ever been in a place where you've just failed something so many times and you just feel like, Lord, I don't understand this thing of the grace of God that can give us power over this thing because I can't get over it. The Lord wanted Lazarus to die completely. Where there was no question. And sometimes the Lord, I think, makes decisions and holds back for a time. Until we get to the place, it's like, I can't do this. I've tried. I've prayed. I've fasted. I've tried. I've failed. I can't do it. We've been there, haven't we? Lack of power goes along with that. Sometimes addictions. Addictions we don't want to talk about to anybody. Hidden places in our lives that nobody knows about. It's on page whatever in your life story that maybe very few people know about. We all come to church and we all want to live for the Lord, and we can put on our happy faces when we come to church and we look around and we think everybody else is, you know, a lot of times is doing pretty well, and we're thinking, why am I having all these, why do I have these things in my past that I'm having to deal with? No one else has to deal with these things. Wrong. Wrong. But the Lord wants to help you with them. It doesn't mean that you're not a Christian anymore. It doesn't mean that you don't love the Lord. As we keep looking to the Lord for help and He sees that and we keep reaching out to Him, and then we get to the place where it's like, Lord, I can't do this anymore, and we're about tempted, it's about on the fourth day, and we think there's no other hope, sometimes the Lord comes along with a message. He says, the Master calls for thee. He wants to talk to you about this. Go show Him. Go, I know you've tried to show Him before, but He's calling for you today. Go take Him to the place. Go ahead and open your feeling. You know it's okay to open your feelings up to the Lord in a respectful manner. Lord, I feel hurt. Lord, help me. I don't understand. I feel discouraged. Failed relationships. Aren't Christians supposed to have really good relationships that never have any trouble with their spouses, their children, those in the congregation? We're Christians, right? We don't have problems in our personal problems. But we do. And sometimes those things can eat at us. And we can't figure out how to get over it. And maybe we want to. And we try and we pray about it, and we just can't get there. And we finally just become resigned. I guess this is just how it's going to be. And we try to push it off to the side and move on and deal with it as best as we can. The Lord doesn't want you to have to just move on. The Lord wants you to have victory in these things. We could go on and on. Guilt. Hopelessness. Lack of inspiration. Feelings of inadequacy. I'm not worth anything. Everybody else has something to offer but me. I guess I'll just try to march to time and get through it. God wants to see those places. And He invites us to come, and He has a message for us tonight. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Thank the Lord. That encompasses all of us wherever we are. If you have some of those troubles and they've been bothering you, feel bruised and you feel like you've been in prison, the Lord came to bring deliverance in those places.
And they rolled the stone away, and it said he that was dead, or he went up there and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he called him by name, and he that is dead came forth with the foot and grave clothes, and his face was bound with the napkin, but here he comes walking out. And the Lord said, loose him, let him free. And the Lord has a message for us tonight. The Lord has a message for you tonight. He wants you to understand that He's calling us, and yes, we can come forth when we thought that the grave was the end of the story for us in one of these particular areas of our life. The Lord, it looked like He was 4 days late, but He was right on time. And He did a work for Lazarus that He wants to do for you. Oh, Jonah, he made a mistake and he failed and was thrown overboard, and it looked like all was done for Jonah, but the Lord delivered him onto dry land. Peter failed the Lord. He lost his faith and he began to sink, and it could have been the end of Peter. It was the same Peter that later failed the Lord, denied the Lord. And Jesus was right there to reach down and pick him back up. Pick him back up. And when he rose, I'll try to get this right, when he rose from the dead, didn't he say, go tell them. Go tell them. I'm not here. I'm risen. And tell Peter, by the way. Let him know that I care about him. I'm still alive. The three Hebrew children, they had faith and they were going to stand true, and maybe they thought if we hold to the faith, the Lord can keep us from ever having to go into the furnace. But they threw them in the furnace anyway, and it was only after they got in the furnace that they met Jesus Christ. And He walked with them in the fire. The Lord wants to do these things for me and for you. There was a man named Legion. He was bound. Nothing could hold him. He was bound by devils, but he couldn't be bound by chains. But Jesus Christ came along and He delivered him. There were people that were lame, that couldn't walk. There are people that are lame spiritually and they need help, and they've been that way for a long time, and people come along and say, what's wrong with them? Be careful about saying things like that. The disciples said, what's wrong with them? What sin did he do? And Jesus said, he didn't. It's for my glory. And sometimes the Lord keeps us from seeing ourselves when other people can see us. You know, that's tough. When I can't see my own problem, but everybody else can see it, and you're going, why is he living like that? Why is he like that? And I might be doing everything I know to do to be saved, and I don't see it. And the Lord's not imputing that unrighteousness to me as sin because I don't have knowledge of it anymore. Maybe I can't see it, but there comes a day that the Lord might open my eyes to it when the time is right. And He's there to pick us up and to give us strength, that we might look at ourselves and go, oh my goodness, have I not been saved this whole time? The Lord's not out there to turn us away. Jesus came to not for the righteous. Jesus Christ came for the unrighteous. Jesus didn't come to help the ones that were free and that didn't have bruises. Jesus came to help the ones that were in captivity. Jesus came to help the ones that felt a little bruised. Jesus came to help the ones that were hurting. And that's what He did here. Loose him. Let him go. And the Lord's faithful tonight to come and call our name too. Is it possible tonight that we've given up hope in some area? Is there a place in your life tonight that as the message has gone forth, you can relate to that grave with the tombstone and the thing inside that stinks a little bit? Seems like there's no longer any hope for redemption. You've tried to maybe move on, but you wish you could have victory over it. Lord, if You'd only helped me when there was opportunity, but now here I am.
The 28th verse said, "The Master is come, and he calleth thee." We serve a God tonight who has all power in heaven and earth. There's a song that we sing that says, "I am the water. I am the life. There's no need to search for another. All power in heaven is mine." And I wonder tonight if there's somebody here that the Lord impressed this message for. And maybe tonight He's calling your name. And He has something very special that He wants to do for you. Tonight, the Lord's calling your name. That's the message to you tonight, that the Master has come and He calleth thee. Let's take advantage of that call. Maybe we could stand and sing a song, and maybe you want to just pray with the Lord. These front benches are open. Sometimes things are personal and you just want to talk to the Lord by yourself. That's okay. The Lord calls for us tonight. Amen.